produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and we rejoice for yet another day that the Lord has made, and we can be glad in it and rejoice in it. My prayer for you and me is that today will be a fruitful day, will be a productive day, but above all, that we will just welcome this day. Sometimes it looks like there's so many trials and challenges and tribulations that we fail to enjoy the day and look at God's blessings and see, you know, the great stuff and the blessings that He's given us in this day. So my prayer for you and I this morning is that God will open up the eyes of our understanding and that we will deliberately, purposefully, and intentionally decide to look at all the blessings that God has given us. And there's no greater blessing than the blessing of life. And so may you and I use our lives in a positive way today to bring joy to somebody, to be a positive influence to somebody, to inspire somebody, to encourage somebody. Let that be your purpose every day of your life, that you're going to bring some hope or positivity to somebody else's life. We are gifts that God has made, and we are supposed to be gifts to the world and bring encouragement, hope, and inspiration to all of those who we come across and who we meet. So today I want to talk about the aspect of walk and work. Walk and work is what I'm going to call the message today. Walk and work. Because many of us actually talk about coming to work for God, or let me even start off with the premise of calling. There's a lot of misunderstanding around the aspect of being called. And I do want to say this upfront, that every single one of us, every single individual is called. We are first of all called to be in a relationship with God. That's our first calling. Every one of us, and that's based on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is a call. It's a call to what? It's a call to salvation. So every single person on this planet Earth, regardless of your background, regardless of your ethnicity, regardless of your gender, regardless of your nationality, regardless of your social status or standing, every single one of us, first of all, is called to salvation. We're called to be saved. We're called to enter into a relationship with Yeshua. That is the first call of our life. The second call is now answering the call of ministry. And one of the things I found is that many of us have a distorted idea and view of ministry. We think that there are only a select few of people who are called to ministry. And I really want us to understand that that is not a correct view. Every single one of you, once you've answered the call of salvation, the second call that you must now answer as a child of God, as a son of God, as a believer, as a follower of Yeshua, an imitator of Yeshua, and eventually a disciple of Yeshua, you must answer the call of ministry. Every single one of us is called into ministry. And that is something that we must understand, because I often hear people asking, people who are in the fivefold ministry ascension gifts, you know, whether you're an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher, people often ask those people to say, so when were you called? When were you called? Well, we've always been called. And now, like I say, the call has to do with being called into salvation and then answering the call of ministry. And that call of ministry is for every single person. Not every single one of us may actually be called as a ministry gift, functioning in, you know, as an apostle or a prophet or evangelist, pastor, teacher. But every one of us is certainly called to minister. We are called to minister. In the aspect of evangelism, every one of us is called to answer the call of evangelism. So once you receive Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, we have a call on our lives to evangelize and to witness of Yeshua. Acts 1:8 says, "So I will give you power." Power to witness. This is now when the 120 were called up in the upper room. In the book of Acts, we read about the 120 who were told, sit here, gather in one accord in unity and wait. Wait for what? Wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Those tongues of fire. Wait to be baptized and ignited by Holy Spirit, because once you are ignited and baptized in Holy Spirit, then you will be on fire for God. You won't suffer burnout. And that's the thing that has sustained me, to have Holy Spirit in me always, not as a visitor, but as a permanent resident, because we are the temples of Holy Spirit. So once you've been baptized in Holy Spirit, then you move out as a minister of the gospel, and we are called to evangelize. Once you've been evangelized and received Yeshua, then that call, you are called to reconcile others to Christ, to witness of Christ. He said, "I will give you power to witness," in Acts 1:8. Power. So many of us are out there looking for power for wrong reasons, for wrong agenda, so we can be acknowledged as people who are powerful, powerful man of God or powerful woman of God. That's not why we receive power. We receive power so that we can witness, and not to witness of ourselves, like many people witness about themselves and how great they are and how anointed they are. The power is to witness of Yeshua, to witness of Yeshua's mercy, to witness of Yeshua's grace upon our lives, to witness of Yeshua's ability, his healing power, his healing virtue, his ability to set the captives free. That is what we witness of Christ's power in us, how it has manifested itself in our lives. That's what now becomes a testimony. Testimony means you're witnessing of the power of Christ in your life, his delivering power, whatever he delivered you from. Maybe he's delivered you from addiction, from alcohol or drug addiction, or even sex addiction, because some people are addicted to sex. Maybe he's delivered you, you know, from something terrible, from curses, from some curses that may have had to do with your family, generationally. Maybe he's delivered you from darkness, you know, from depression, from suicidal thoughts. So those are the things that we now begin to testify of. And that's now having the power of Holy Spirit in us to now witness of the delivering power of God to save us and bring us into right relationship with Yeshua. So that now we answer the call to reconcile others to Christ, so that they too may walk with Christ. They too may have a relationship, an enduring, a sustainable relationship with Yeshua HaMashiach. Praise the Lord. So, yes, I wanted to talk to us about the call. The first thing I really wanted to clarify is that we are all called. So don't let anybody fool you with the notion that only a select few people are called. No, we are all called. There are no special people that are called. There are people who are called specifically as ascension gifts, but all of us are definitely called to the ministry. And that's why in Ephesians 4:11 to 16, if you read that whole scripture, it tells us that Jesus ascended from verse 11, that Jesus, after, of course, he died and was resurrected, what happened then? He ascended to heaven. And that's why these fivefold ministry gifts are called also the ascension gifts. After he ascended to heaven, it says that now Jesus gave gifts unto men. So after his ascension, he gave gifts unto men. And those gifts were the fivefold ministry gifts: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And incidentally, they are very much in operation in today. Don't let anybody deceive you and tell you that these ministry gifts are not in operation. They are actually New Testament operational gifts.
But now the Bible goes further in that scripture in Ephesians 4:11-16. And it tells us that Jesus not only gave these fivefold ministry gifts, but the reason why he gave those fivefold ministry gifts was so that those ministry gifts can now teach the saints that as we gather, when we gather together in cell groups and meetings for services, when we gather, those fivefold ministry gifts are now supposed to teach the saints, to train the saints, to equip them, to activate them, identify their gifts and activate the gifts in them to now make sure that the saints do the work of the ministry. Now, if the saints are supposed to be taught, trained, equipped, activated by these fivefold ministry gifts to do the work of the ministry, that makes them ministers. You cannot do the work of the ministry and not be a minister. So effectively, all of us, whether you're an apostle, you may not be an apostle or prophet or evangelist per se, as a gift occupying that office, but definitely all of us are called and we're called into ministry. You may have a ministry that has to do with orphans, that has to do with, you know, feeding orphans, that has to do with widows. You may have a ministry calling that has to do with, you know, in the government, governmental grace, like Joseph had a governmental grace working with leaders. That's still ministry. You may have a marketplace ministry gift like Daniel, who was in Babylon and God sent him there to affect the marketplace there, to use his ministry grace, his ministry capability, his ministry capacity to influence the marketplace. So wherever we are called to use those ministry gifts. Praise the Lord. To use whatever gift is there. I have a friend actually, and she's, I hope she'll be listening to this recording. Her name is Alta, and she is a massage therapist, you know, and she operates in the minute. She receives it as a ministry. So as far as she understands her gift, that God has given her a gift to put healing in her hands. So when you go to see Alta, she's not just going to massage you like any other massage therapist will massage you. Alta will actually massage you with the understanding that this is a gift that God has given her. God has given her healing hands. And then so she uses that as a ministry gift. When you go and see her, she will definitely, sooner or later, you will know that she's a child of God. She's a son of God, you know, through scriptures. She will, you know, talk to you about the love of God that she has for God and all of that. So that is somebody who understands that this gift that I've been given is to minister to others, is so that God can use it so that I can bless others, use a healing gift and a healing grace and a healing anointing to bring healing to those who are not well. So let us understand that that's a call. And through the application of her gift, Alta is actually answering a call to minister. And so I need us to understand that all of us are called and we minister differently. And we minister and we're supposed to minister using the gift that God has placed in our lives. So praise God. May all of us begin to minister with that understanding. First of all, that we're called to salvation. We're called to be children of God. We're called to grow in maturity and eventually become sons of God. And we're called to answer the call of God on our lives, which is to minister effectively wherever we are, using the gifts that God has given us, that God has wired up in us, ministering there. I'm trained as a lawyer, and I know a lot of the ministry that I do has to do with legal issues. So I stand against things like comprehensive sexuality education, which would want to pervert our children, which would want to train our children into becoming promiscuous and immoral to engage in sex before they're married. So God uses my gift, my training as a lawyer, and to say, use that to impact the marketplace, to impact the world. And that's a gift that God has given me, to stand against corrupt, perverted legislation. Right now, we are standing against a piece of legislation that will impact on Christians' ability to practice their faith, that will impact on the constitutional right to freedom of religion. And that piece of legislation, a bill which is being considered in South Africa, is called the PEPUDA Bill, which stands for, it's an acronym, PEPUDA, P-E-P-U-D-A, is an acronym for Promotion of Equality and Prevention, as the Promotion of Equality and Prevention of Unfair Discrimination Act. So this is a bill that's currently going, it's going to go before Parliament, and the public has been asked to make comment on it. So that's what we're mobilizing the public to do, make comment. That is me using a grace that God has placed on my life for kingdom influence and for kingdom impact. And I want to encourage every one of you out there to do the same. Whatever gift, whatever grace, whatever ability God has given you and I, let's use it for kingdom impact and let's use it for kingdom purpose. So that is the aspect about call. And when I started this recording, I started by saying that many of us, you know, want to work for God. We want to answer the so-called call. But we need to understand first and foremost that God is not just looking for workers. He's not looking for slaves. He's not looking for workers, people who will just come and, you know, come and work for me. God is a relational God, and He is our Father first and foremost. So He's looking for relationship above all else. So for Him to first establish our relationship, we must first walk with Him. We need to learn how to walk with God before we can work with Him. Work with Him. And we work together. Yeshua said in Matthew 16:18, He said, I will build my church, my ecclesia. Ecclesia, the Greek word for church is ecclesia. And ecclesia means those ones who've been called out. Ek, kaleo, two words. Ek kaleo, I will build my generation of those who've been called out and consecrated to do a special work. And that special work is that we are called as sons of God to legislate on His behalf, to bring His kingdom to come on earth. So we are called to rule, to govern on earth, to have that dominion that is spoken about in Genesis 1:26-28. He gave us dominion. He told us to subdue. He told us to take authority at all of those things, to name things. So that we have been called to do all of that. So we're not just called as the only as the ecclesia. Yeshua said, I will build my church. He will build His church. And we are called as co-workers to work alongside Him, with Him, and to build the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. To build the kingdom of God and establish the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That is part of our calling. But before we can do that, we need to learn to walk with Him before we can work with Him. So that there is that precondition of walk with Him first before we work with Him. God is very relational. And you see, every man of God that's spoken of, every woman that's spoken of in the Bible, there's a relationship. There's a process of having a relationship with that person. Look at God and Abraham, that relationship. You know, this is somebody he called his friend of God. It was built on the principle of relationship. And we can even see that relationship manifested in Genesis 17. And this is what scripture says in Genesis 17:1. Let's look at how God actually wanted to walk with Abraham, one who he called friend, walk with him before Abraham could actually work with him. And God said in Genesis, the scripture says in Genesis 17:1, and when Abraham was 19 years old and nine, it says, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. So God is talking to Abraham about covenant, establishing covenant and covenant and walking together. We cannot walk in a covenant relationship. When you hear the word covenant, it's talking of an intimate relationship. It's not a casual relationship. It's not a relationship where we try to visit God once a week because we go to a building and we lift up our hands in a building, in a service, 3-hour service, and we think that's a relationship with God. No. Covenant relationship is an intimate relationship where you commune with God, where you talk to him and you walk with him every day. It's not a check-in where you check in with him once a week, like many of us do who call ourselves Christians. We only talk to God once a week on a Sunday when we go to service, and we talk to him when the pastor tells us to talk to him. Now open up your mouth, lift up your hands and pray. That is not a covenant relationship. It's not an intimate relationship. Covenant is talking about intimacy, where you are in consistent relationship, constant communion with God. And so the aspect of covenant, if you and I want to walk in that covenant relationship, there's a walking that has to take place. If you and I want to operate in that covenantal relationship, we need to walk with him. And this is God speaking to Abraham, say, walk before me. And he's saying, as you walk before me, then that's what establishes covenant. Then I will make my covenant between me and thee. So there, without walking with God, it's pretty much impossible to establish a covenantal relationship with God. So what is a fundamental precondition and a foundation for establishing covenant relationship is walking with God. May you and I have a greater understanding of what it means to walk with God, talking to him all the time, meditating upon his goodness, upon his word, not letting the book of law, the Bible, the word of God, you know, depart, but always meditating on it, always in worship, worshiping him, you know, maintaining that spirit of worship. God said in John 4:24, he said, he's spirit. And, you know, if we want to worship him, we must worship him in spirit and in truth, not just performing, not just lip service, but our hearts must be connected. He said that you worship me with your lips, you know, but your hearts are far from me. So what makes a worship is heart connection and spirit connection, because then he says we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So when we try to work for God, when we try to work with him without first walking with him, it's going to make the journey very burdensome. You're going to burn out, because what sustains us is the relationship, that covenantal relationship with God, that intimate relationship with him. So it's critical to first walk with him and before we can work with him. And many people who backslide, many people who find the journey burdensome and onerous, it's because they've not first learned to walk with God. They've tried to start working for him and they become hirelings, like, you know, you're a hireling. And so they try to, you know, work for God, and it becomes a heavy, heavy burden on their lives. And it will always be heavy if you try to work with God or work for God before you've actually walked with him. But when you've walked with him, you've got that relationship with him, you've got that close affinity with God. When you walk with him, you're not troubled by anxiety and you're not anxious for nothing. When you walk with him, because you're in an intimate relationship with him, your mind is stayed on him. It says, you know, keep your mind stayed on him. And when your mind is stayed on him, then, you know, that spirit of fear will not come upon you. For God has not given you a spirit of fear. Fear does not come from God. Fear comes from the enemy. And God does not give us the spirit of fear. He gives us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and a sound mind. So when you walk with him, you will not walk in that fear. You will walk in power. You will walk in love, and you will walk in soundness of mind. Even in this time of COVID, when so many people are walking in fear, you know, the fear has been put in by so many people, the government and the state. You know, they say they're trying to protect us, but in their attempt to protect the people, many times times they're actually rather putting fear and placing fear in your heart where people don't want to do anything or go anywhere. So even as we walk out there being, you know, socially conscious and to some degree obeying authority, but we must not allow our obeying whatever medical protocols have been placed through that. We must not allow that to put fear, anxiety, stress, and worry in our hearts. Because at the end of the day, it's that fear that will kill you. Fear is a legal open door for the enemy to come into your life. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when we are in fear, we are not in faith, and that means we're not pleasing God. And when we are in fear, it also means that we've opened a legal door. Satan now has a legal right to come and harass you, to come and oppress you, because you've stepped out of faith, which pleases God, into a place of fear. When you step out of faith, it means you've stepped out of a place of trusting God. You've stepped out of your covenantal relationship with God. You've stepped out of your intimate relationship with God, where you can trust Him. Trust Him to take care of you. Trust Him to heal you. Trust Him to protect you for divine protection. Psalm 91, you've stepped out of that place and stepped into a place of anxiety, of doubt, of unbelief, of fear. And many people who get into that place end up even backsliding or moving into a place of apostasy. So one more example of somebody who walked with God. And I pray that you will have been blessed to know that we're called to salvation, and we're called also to be ministers of God. We're called to work with God, but before we can work with God, we are called to walk with Him. And in Philippians 3:17-21, we read about this. It says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have for us an example. For many," verse 18, "for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ," the enemies of cross of the cross of Christ, "whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." And it ends to say, "for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Yeshua, Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. And so I want to say that, you know, walking is important. It says, mark those who walk and who walk properly. Let's look at those who are walking with God as an example. Let's look at that. And then it tells us that many of us are walking. But what's important also is how we walk, because there are those who are not walking with God per se, but they're walking as enemies of the cross of Christ. Those who are walking because their God is their belly. They're just looking for money. They're just looking for how to feed themselves. They're just looking to grab, you know, all those things. Their walk is not the walk that the Bible is encouraging us to walk. So how we walk is key. And I want to close the session by just reminding us also to say in Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked with God. In that scripture, if you read that whole Genesis 5, you'll see a genealogy there of all the men of God that are mentioned there, that this one lived and then he died. This one lived and then he died. But with Enoch, there's a difference. He didn't just live and die. He didn't just breathe oxygen and then expire. Enoch walked with God, which means that his life was meaningful. And I leave you with that word, that Abraham walked with God, Enoch walked with God. And I want to provoke and challenge you and I. Let's walk with God. Let's be encouraged to walk with God, not just one day on Sunday for 3 hours as we go to service, but every day of our lives, let's be encouraged to walk with God. And as we walk with God and develop an intimate covenantal relationship with God, hallelujah, let's now move into that covenant, into a deeper relationship and covenant, so that now we don't only walk with Him, we can work with Him to build His kingdom, to establish His kingdom on earth. May you in this week be encouraged to walk with God and an intimate covenantal relationship, establish that so that we can be co-workers with Yeshua HaMashiach. God richly bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I will see you next week.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Amen. The voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia on our Western Standard Time. We are bringing you the voice of destiny on Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network and our co-producer Kela Paje. Join us right now as we get right into the word. Happy, happy, happy 2022 to all our listeners and those that follow us. This year is packed with goodies to strengthen you and to see Christ glorified over your life in Jesus' name.
For Jesus. He said, just pace yourself. Keep on going. Don't worry. They might pass you. Just keep your pace. Keep on going. Steady, Eddie. Steady. Steady.
Amen.
Steady. 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 And mind, in the great instance now, some of my friends are now laughing at me. Come on, George. Come on, Josh. And I looked at them. That's all I can say. Come on, Joshua, losing. Come on, Joshua, behind. Come on, Joshua, for number one. And all I could say, I've got this. And I keep on going. Keeping my pace. Keeping my pace. When it was on the 200-meter mark, I went for my reserve. I said, I went for my reserve. What was a liability? Yes, that which was supposed to be an awkwardness around my life, that which was supposed to be something that makes me to fail, was to my advantage. And I started now going, overtook, and I recovered all. I became number one. And for all my high school years, I was known as number one in long distances. But if I believed what I was told by other teachers, they would have grounded me. I would have thought I can never run again. But now I know that sometimes God places awkwardness in us. Not because He favors others. Besides, no. Because with God, nothing is wasted. Which means even right now, the adversity and the pain and the attacks that you've been through in your life, God can change them right now and they can become to advantage. He's a God who knows how to take my mess, somebody say, into a message. He takes my tests and they become testimonies. Whatever was awkward, God can use it and can become victorious in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout yes.
Yes.
In the year 2022, I heard God say, you will arise, you will pursue, you will overtake, and you will recover everything that the devil thought it was not meant for you. I'm talking to somebody right now here because I know exactly that what God has begun in your life, He will bring it to completion. He's not a God of half-finished jobs. He's a God who starts and He finishes. And I'm here to say to somebody right now that even where you are right now may not be the best place. It doesn't seem as if everything is working around your life, but it's a matter of time, because you don't win all the time, but you win at the right time. And I declare that in 2022, God is raising winners in this church. I don't know what your winning is going to be, but I'm ready for testimonies by the end of the year that what started as bad, what started as painful, what started as a tragedy, what started as adversity, what started as pain against me, I'm here to testify of the goodness of God, because I choose to believe God. If God said it, I believe it. Somebody shout yes.
Yes.
Somebody shout glory.
Glory.
Welcome to the unashamed shouting preacher.
Amen.
Yes.
tell you a few stories. You see? Because when I was taught in Bible school, I was taught to stand behind the pulpit. Because if you don't stand behind here, according to the professor, you will take off marks from you. That as a preacher, you need to stand behind the podium. Don't pass yourself moving up and down. And I'm thinking, gee, I failed this unit. If that's what happens, I failed this unit. Because how many of you know, God wants you to operate like you. Can you hear me? I don't expect every preacher to walk up and down like I'm doing. Some stand behind the pulpit. It says this. And according to this, oh, the best is, and this is what is going to happen. Say amen. Just lift up your hand. I did that. But you see, I'm the type that when I'm preaching, I'm preaching to you, but I'm preaching to me. That's what. So whatever you are feeling, I am feeling it too. I feel the heat. It's like all different kind of things happening around me because I believe God wants to use your uniqueness to be a blessing to the world. Yes. Isn't it just wonderful that we're all unique and different?
Yes.
Because if we're all like you, it would be a boring world.
Yeah, come on.
I would say this, I love me. The way I am. That's right. So I want you to understand that the uniqueness of who you are gives you a divine advantage for you to do more in the things of the kingdom. Amen. Some shout glory.
Amen.
I pray for you therefore that in these years that we're living, that God has given us, may you live your life with a passion. May you have a reason when you wake up in the morning and say, in this house, I am the happiest fellow.
Yeah.
You don't need somebody to be happy. You don't need a table for two to go for a restaurant. Take yourself out this year. Me, myself, and I, I'm enjoying this. I'm having coffee for Josh. I'm honoring Josh. So I can have coffee for me.
About your coffee.
Exactly. I'm preaching for me. Because if you don't take care of you, who do you think is going to take care of you? Because many of you, you live your life in the past where you're coming from 2021, that year that you want to talk about, you now realize you are using to take care of people that don't even like you. And at the end, who gets hurt? You. No, I can do it by myself. The movie's My Dear talks about she can do bad by herself. You can do good by yourself.
Yeah.
Take yourself out and make it an honorable thing that this year, self-care is important. It's not selfish, because here's the first commandment and the greatest commandment. Remember it? It says in Matthew 22, verse 35, to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then it says, to love yourself, to love your neighbor, rather, as you love yourself, which means, if you don't love you, you will give your neighbor what is in you. And many of us don't understand that. That every time what you vent out or whatever comes out of you, largely it's proven, it's a self-reflection of what is inside of you. The saying couples, when we come from marriages and we say, whenever you see a man beat his wife, it is because it's a reflection of what is in them. It is their insecurities in them.
Yeah.
It's not what's in her.
No.
It's what's in them.
Yeah.
You don't like you. So you beat her. Makes you feel better. But that's not how God has that. But you see, it's not only husband and wives. It is in our relationships. How do you treat your relationships? He mentioned a little bit there about gossip, Mr. Durant. It's important for you to understand that if I think I love you, I should not want to be gossiping and talking behind your back.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I know, if I'm talking bad about somebody with you, that means when I turn my back, you'll be talking.
Yeah,
that's life.
Right.
They'll talk bad about you too. It's a principle of life.
Yeah.
In 2022, there must be an arising that comes out.
Yeah.
Because in life, you are either sinking or surviving or thriving. If you arise in this year, you say to yourself, I am not sinking this year. I am not surviving this year. I am thriving this year. And how do we thrive? Let's see the verse that we know as we continue now to deal with our text. And I want to talk about that last verse, that last word there, and recover all. Somebody shout, recover all.
Recover all.
So help me to turn to your neighbor and give them a smile. So this is the pastor's smile. And as you give them the smile, say to them, chill, you will recover all.
Yeah.
You can tell some of your mom in it because you don't know. Tell them, they say, relax. You can recover all. Tell them, relax. You can recover all. You can recover all. It's a story that we know, and that story is in Joel chapter 2 from verse 23. Let's read that verse and let's see what the Bible says. Joel chapter 2. Joel is one of the prophets that God has called to preach to Judah. And in that very difficult time, God gives him a word. The children of Israel had committed evil in the presence of God. Joel the prophet, chapter 2, from verse 23. Let's see what the Bible says in Jesus' name. Joel chapter 2, Joel. Oh. Thank you, Lulu. Bless you, my girl. Chapter 2 from verse 23. I want us to read all of us together. I want to welcome you all to the house of God and destiny in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for being here today. We pray that God will bless you as we serve God together. We love people in this church and we believe that God has given us a vision and you are part of that as well. And to all those that are watching on Facebook, we love you. We love you and we thank God for our lives and we pray that as you continue to be blessed, you'll be blessed together with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 23, let's read one to go. Be glad then, you children of Zion. By the way, my wife is going to train on it. Okay. That's what I should say. One to go, be glad. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first one. That's a promise that has been given. It's a promise that has been given to God's people. Judah had moved away from the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. And in their moving away from the dictates of God, God now sends a word as a cry to God, for God to come for them, for God to come and be with them and show the goodness, his goodness over their lives. And as a cry to God, they are being given a promise. And the promise is, be glad then. Because before God does it, he doesn't want to do it and then become glad. He always starts first by, be glad then. That is why faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing the word of God. You don't rejoice because we have it. You rejoice because it's coming.
Yes. God. Amen. Amen.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's right. You don't wait for the miracle to be there. That's not how it works in this kingdom. Because in this kingdom, you've got to understand the wisdom of God and the wisdom of this world. And the wisdom of this world is manipulative. Yeah. It is witchcraft.
Yes.
Because it is sensual. It is, you do me and I will do you. Do me first and then I will do you. But in the wisdom of God, he says, trust me, even if you can't trust it.
Yeah.
Walk with me. Trust that I'm going to do it. So Abraham, you shall be called a father of many nations. So his name changes from Abraham to Abraham before he gets Isaac. Because with God, you receive it first before it is actualized in the practical. So he says to them there, be glad then. Somebody declare, I am glad.
I am glad.
Shout again, I am glad.
I am glad.
He's says, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. He wants you to understand that God has done it before. It's the same God is going to do it now. And he says, he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you. And the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Let's keep going with that verse. Let's see what it says in the next verse, verse 24. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. And you've got to understand that at this stage, they look in the arid places, in the farming land, and all of the farming land, there was nothing. There was nothing at all, agriculturally. The only way they survived in those times, they were not like we are living in our time right now. In those times, it was subsistence farming, but also it was mainly agricultural land. And whenever they plowed their field, they depended their harvest to come in order for them to reap so that they can make a living. Now, in this time, the trees were dry, the leaves were dry, everything else was dry, and the soil was not producing anything. No matter how much they tried to plant there, it wasn't giving in any food. There was no rain. But they get a promise from God that God has heard your cry. I thank God that in the season of our lives, we serve a God who answers prayer. We serve a God who hears us. We serve a God that when you cry to him, he has declared, cry unto me, Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call unto me, I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. If you are here this morning, and you are believing God for a breakthrough, you are here this morning, life has disappointed you. You are here this morning, life has done you. If you are here this morning, and it seems as if it doesn't look like favor around you, I'm here to say to you, it's your year to arise and trust in God. Because if God cannot do it for you, nobody else is going to do it. Be glad, O people of God, because God says the threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. Let's keep going. Let's see. My darling girl, let's read together verse 25. One, two, go. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army, which I sent among you. Do you see that all those locusts that you see there, those little creepy things that he mentions there, each one of them was specified to eat different type of life. What the locust ate was not what the cankerworm was eating. What the cankerworm was eating was not what the palmerworm was eating. These are all different types. The palmer worms, they were good in eating, taking out the life out of the leaves of the tree. So that what was green started as green. After the palmer worm is eaten, what looked green looked dry. Yeah. Your life oftentimes go through these seasons when there's drought around it. And you try everything. You try to do things right. You try to walk with God. You try to pray. But it seems that there's this invisible enemy called the palmer worm or the chewing locust. And when it comes, it begins to chew the very life you are trying to have. The very little thing that you are remaining with. And you wonder, I give up. Because no matter what I try to do in life, nothing is working. To you that is here today, that is saying my life has been consumed by the enemy. And it seems as if whatever I try to do, it is not working. The relationship, we try to go well for 2-3 weeks. After the 4th week, there is a blowout in the family. And we are up against throat and we are about to kill one another. What's happening? This has been happening like a cycle. I'm here to say to somebody, you can't control seasons. But you can control cycles. Whatever has become like a cycle around your family, around your finances, around the way you live, you can change that trajectory. Because with God on your side, he knows how to change the cycles of your life. So today, in the name of Jesus Christ, I break every pattern of negativity. Every pattern that makes you to go back to the thing that you want to be delivered from. I break it over your life in the name of Jesus. I break it against your children. I break it today and I pray that God's hand shall lift you up and you shall enjoy the new resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Somebody shall receive it. Amen. Because when you see all those locusts The crawling one is the one that gets inside the bark of a tree. So automatically what was green dries, but the tree is still there. You have a sign of life, but there's no life at all. Sometimes you can be left with a chorus, with a song, with the worship, but the God of the worship is not there. You remain religious. You say the right words, the right cliche. Praise the Lord. I'm blessed and anointed. But you know you're going to hell. I'm blessed and anointed. It works a lot among religious people. Praise the Lord. Give a fake smile. I'm blessed, Josh. But inside, inwardly, there's a crawling insect that's eating the very life. And when you pray, you can't even know whether you believe the prayers that you are praying yourself. But someone said, the devil is a liar. Because what is meant for evil but the devil, God can restore that back.
Amen.
So when we talk about recovery, I want you to know that there is recovery with God. You might have lost your health, you can recover. Lost your finances, you can recover. Lost your family, you can recover. Whatever you've lost in your life, including your health, there is what is called God of recovery. So I want you to understand that if the Bible says that, my great army which I sent among you. The next verse, let's see what it says. Lulu, 26. Let's read together. Why don't you go? You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. That's my prayer for you. Take that as your word for this year. Take that as a statement that you live by. That, Father, I thank you. In all the crap that I've been through in my life, and all the stuff that has been overwhelming around my life, I thank you for the promise of your word. And that's the promise of his word. You shall eat in plenty. 2022 is that year that God has designed for me, that I shall eat plenty and I shall be satisfied. And I'll praise the name of the Lord my God, who has dealt wondrously with my life and my family. And the Bible says, my people shall never be put to shame.
Amen.
How does that map out in our lives as I pray? I believe it maps up this way. There are three words that I call the character traits. If you're going to live well in this world, if you're going to live this year so that you won't yield the same crops and the same fruits that you yielded in 2021, I think it's important for us to talk about these character traits that I believe are proponents to help you to live effectively as a child of God. Number one word I want to give you is the word integrity. Someone shout integrity.
Integrity.
Integrity is a very good word. Because integrity can protect you and speak for you when you're absent. Integrity is a key word that is to do with your character, that is to do with who you are. When you build your life with that understanding. I want to be known as a man of integrity. 2022, I want to be known as a woman of integrity. I did not say perfect. Integrity. Integrity is Daniel. When they were trying to say words against him, when they were trying to smear him with an ugly character, and they went and told the king what he was not. But Daniel knew what integrity was, because it's a matter of the heart. And he said, you test me, O king, because I know the God that I believe in. He was a man of integrity. He stood in his character, and what he said, he meant it. What he, whatever he did was followed by what he said. And what he said, that's what he did. He was a man of integrity. Because in this life, in 2022, what we say is the year for you to arise. You do need to understand that not everybody is going to be happy when you are elevated. Not everybody is going to be happy when God lifts you up. Not everybody is going to be happy when they see you overcoming certain things. But if you want to be a man and a woman that's going to be honored by God, be a man and a woman of integrity. Someone shout integrity.
Integrity.
Integrity is everything.
Yeah.
Most companies and factories, that's what they'll tell you. That they'll tell you oftentimes that honesty is the best policy. And I want you to understand that, that in your life as a child of God, in the kingdom of God, integrity is the highest priority in the kingdom. Be a man that is honorable and a woman that is honorable. Not in the presence of people, but even when no one is watching you. Take your time and build within you those traits.
Amen. God bless you. Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network, the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo, all the way from Western Australia, with our co-producer, Kayla Paget. We thank you so much for tuning in on our weekly program. Welcome, everybody, to 2022. Happy New Year.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.